This is Shi'ar Jashub, coming from Shi'ar Jashub Christian Tabernacle in Madison, Connecticut. I'm Patty Scalzo, and today we will be listening to the conclusion of a sermon in the Book of Romans series taught by my husband, Pastor Greg Scalzo. Pastor has been discussing chapter 1, verses 18 to 23, where Paul speaks about the unthankfulness of men who profess to be wise, but exchange the glory of the incorruptible God for an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. And just before discussing this idolatry, Pastor read from the Congressional 1777 Proclamation for a Thanksgiving Day, which clearly indicated that this country at that time was indeed thankful to God, and which mentioned the forgiveness in Jesus Christ and righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
And you think of those idols that those scholarly Greeks worshipped, and the imagination, their gods that were more like a soap opera, Hera and Jupiter and Zeus and all their intrigues together. They worshipped in the image of men. They exchanged the glory of the one true God for these idols, these images. You think about the great Egyptian civilization and their idols and their gods and all the civilizations from high to low. The common thread is that they have taken the true image of God, it's been lost, and they exchange it for corruptible, that which is not. Someone could say, well, Pastor, we don't worship idols or images in America. We don't have little statues we bow down to. We don't. Where did your public school teacher tell you you came from? Well, you came from primates, quadrupeds, four-footed animals, which came from reptiles, amphibians, creeping things, which came from sea creatures and single cells and sludge and chemicals and chance and accidents. Don't we worship those things? And what is the highest being in the universe, according to them? Isn't it man? That's humanism, right? That man is self-reliant. You're your own God. Or you worship others, other humans, other men, other women that you make as idols, right? And many times our country worships at the idol, the idolatry of Darwin and Marx and others with their humanism and their nihilism and their anti-God philosophies that have permeated through our society, that this no longer is proclaimed, this proclamation from 1777 is no longer the standard of our nation. And they are without excuse because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Unthankfulness. Why are they unthankful? Remember back when we studied Habakkuk 2:4. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. The proud, pride, my way. I will not recognize God, so I can continue in my way, and I'll suppress the truth, and I'll create and worship a lie, and I'll teach others to do the same, and I won't thank him. Unthankfulness on their part is a characteristic of pride, those whose soul is not upright in them. What do we have here? What do we have in this account here in Romans? Doesn't it sound very much like what you have in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 4? Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, creeping thing. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God. You'll be like God. You'll be your own God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, to make one wise. Professing to be wise, they became fools. She took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Wise, right? They had paradise, and yet they were what? Unthankful, right? That was an act of being unthankful for what they had, not appreciating what they had, looking for this false wisdom to be like God, and they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for the perishable, for that which passes away. And they gave glory to this creeping thing over God. You have in Romans chapter 1, verses 21 to 23, the elements of the original sin. They knew God, were not thankful to God, became futile in their thoughts, their foolish hearts darkened. They exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image made like corruptible man, etc., etc. And what did we say the original sin does? It unplugs us from God. It separates us from God. Now, notice, please notice that in verse 18, they suppress the truth. Verses 20 to 21, they know God, but they do not glorify him as God. They don't give him thanks. They have empty thoughts. They let their hearts become dark. Verse 22, they become fools. Verse 23, they change the glory of the incorruptible God for an image made like corruptible, right? They, their choice. They should know better. That's why the wrath of God is revealed. That's why they're without excuse. They should know better, but they don't want to acknowledge God. Their pride, their sin, their unrighteousness, their what? Their free will. They've done this, right? Free will, right? This is important for the rest of the letter. Then what happens? Verse 24, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, right? In the NIV, it says, therefore God gave them over in their sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. Now God gives them over. But notice it's their free will that has unplugged, that has separated them from God. And then God separates himself from them. Then God gives them over. God hands them over. They've already willfully deserted God, and now God pulls away. He pulls his restraint away. And this withdrawal sends men deeper down in sin. I believe even common sense gets taken away. And everything evil floods in. And they're hardened based on their reaction to him. Because when God pulls his presence away, what happens to their hearts? They become harder, right? He hardens their hearts, but they've hardened their hearts first. They know better. They've said no, and their hearts are hardened first. And so he pulls back his presence. He gives them over to uncleanness. He gives them over in the lust, the desires of their hearts to uncleanness, impurity, to dishonor their bodies with one another, to degrade, some of your translations say, to degrade their bodies with one another. Now, I started by showing where this country was, right? And where we've become as far as our thankfulness and now our unthankfulness toward God. So then the scriptures are proven true, right? Because as our nation has become more unthankful, what's happened? What's flooded in? Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, sexual impurity. Do we see that at work today? It's rampant, right? Universities, that, what did he say here? He said that our land may yield this increase to take schools and seminaries of education so necessary for cultivating the principles of true liberty. Now it's socialism. Now it's government control. Virtue. We don't talk about virtue in our universities today. Piety. I'm sure if you go outside some universities today and you say to some of the young kids coming out, have your professors taught you about piety? How much does the role of piety play in your college life under his nurturing hand, under the hand of God? Has your professor told you about God? That's what the universities were established for when people in this country thanked God. But as we become unthankful, what's come in? As God moves back his presence from society, society becomes even harder, and it becomes a spiral down into greater and greater darkness. And then Paul becomes more specific after this, which, Lord willing, we'll look at next time. But notice for now that we have saturated in this country the education of the youth with the false teaching of man rising up, right? Man evolving, society progressing up, when really, when you read through Romans chapter 1, the history of man is descent, decline, degeneration, not evolution, devolution. Going from the original state of fellowship, knowing God, knowing the glory of God, knowing Eden, and then because of pride and unthankfulness, sliding down, a society falling down. Just the opposite of what is taught. As we go away from God, we don't become more sophisticated. We might profess to be wise, but what does it say? They become fools. And as we read verses 26 and 28, we see again, it says God gives them over. God gives them over to vile passions. God gives them over to a debased mind. And then Paul will give us parameters in this section, in the end of chapter 1, to identify just how far down a society has fallen away from God. A society has gone deeper and deeper into sin. Parameters that we can use to measure the state of our own society and the health of our own society, the spiritual health. Father, we are called to give you thanksgiving in all things, in all circumstances, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray for the remnant in this country, the remnant that shares the faith of the fathers, the remnant that gives you thanksgiving and glorifies you and desires to see your righteousness in Christ Jesus uncovered, revealed to as many that can come into your kingdom. Father, we pray that you would help us in this time of darkness, Lord God, in this pagan time. Some in our nation call it a post-Christian time. Father, let it not be a post-Christian time, but let it be the opening up of the greatest revival in the history of our land. See the prayers offered up by those that made this proclamation in 1777. And in the decades past that, Lord, in the history of our nation, see our prayers, Almighty God. Hear our prayers before your throne as incense. Hear from heaven and shower upon our land your grace and your might and your power to break through the foolishness and the darkness and the emptiness and to show your glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Please join Pastor Greg Scalzo next time on Shiar Jashub.